views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom, and I'm very excited. We're just 2 weeks away from our conference, so less than 2 weeks away now. And things are heating up and getting very exciting. I'm going to be talking with two of our featured guests today, who are Normandy Ellis and Nikki Scully. Nikki Scully is an author, healer in the shamanic arts, and teacher of the Egyptian mysteries, and she developed alchemical healing, comprehensive healing form that is practiced by thousands of practitioners internationally. In the late 80s, Nikki founded Shamanic Journeys, LTD, and conducts workshops, retreats, and spiritual pilgrimages to Egypt and other sacred sites. In addition to her many books on the Egyptian mystery, she's the author of many healing and shamanic books. I'm not going to take the time to list them all, but take a look at her website, www.shamanicjourneys.com. And then we have Normandy Ellis, who is a spiritualist minister and certified medium missionary through the Indiana Association of Spiritualists. She teaches in the metaphysical school at Camp Chesterfield in Indiana. She is an internationally known teacher and the author of 12 books, most notably the spiritual classic Awakening Osiris, based on the hieroglyphic text of the Egyptian Book of the Dead. And Normandy also teaches creative writing, and her award-winning fiction includes Sorrowful Mysteries and Other Stories, Going West and Fresh-Fleshed Sisters. And together, they authored their book that came out this spring, The Union of Isis and Thoth, Magic and Initiatory Practices of Ancient Egypt, which skillfully interweaves ancient wisdom and the spiritual healing into a practical plan to help people actualize their highest potential and sacred purpose. And that's one of the things they're going to be doing at the conference with their workshop. They're giving a two-day intensive workshop. So if you really want to dive into this topic, come February 15th to the 16th, at our pre-Woman Wisdom Conference event. It's called Practical Applications of Egyptian Mysteries and Becoming an Oracle. So welcome, Nikki and Normandy.
Thank you.
Yes, well, we're excited to have you. You've been at the conference many times, and it's so exciting to have you back again. And let's start off with telling us about, how you are so dedicated in your work to the Egyptian mysteries and healing. Let's start with Nikki. They both come together, healing and the mysteries.
They certainly both came together for me. I first went to Egypt in 1978 with the Grateful Dead, and I had never experienced that level of magic. It was as though the day was just filled with one synchronicity after another every day until I had an epiphany when I climbed the pyramid one in the middle of the night for sunrise and realized I was home. And I've been there more than 60 times leading tours, and it was there that I found myself committing to become a healer. And then I had to leave the Grateful Dead scene and take my children and move to Oregon to find a teacher, because it was kind of hard in the middle of that scene to really find myself. And I guess the rest is history. If anybody told me I would become who I've become and be doing what I've been doing, I wouldn't have believed them.
Yes.
Pure fiction.
True. And Normandy, how about you?
Well, I'll see. I think the best way to describe it is that Egypt found me. I was getting a master's in creative writing. I had always had an interest in metaphysics and had been studying a lot of texts like Dion Fortune and theosophical texts and Rosicrucian texts. And then it came time to do a translation workshop. I was getting my master's in English, and after I'd exhausted my work in Spanish, I had to pick another language, which I had to teach myself. And it turned out that a friend had given me the Book of the Dead in hieroglyphs with transliteration by Wallace Budge, a very difficult translation. I don't think it made a whole lot of sense to a lot of people, but I vowed to myself I was going to retranslate it and turn it into poetry. And when my friend died, it certainly made sense that I would be studying a book that he had given me called The Book of the Dead. It took me about 10 years and a lot of study, a lot of meditation, a lot of teaching myself how to read and write hieroglyphs. And I didn't actually go to Egypt until the book was first published and I got my very first royalty check, which allowed me to get a plane ticket over there and see the land that was so in my soul that, you know, I practically kissed the ground the minute the plane landed.
Now, that's your book, Awakening Osiris.
Right. That's
yes,
Awakening
yes. Osiris. Well, and it's amazing to think of, you know, translating hieroglyphic texts, you know, into English words. I think that would be really hard. I mean, you'd have to know a lot about the culture.
Yeah, you would think. But I think what happened is that I learned a lot about myself. I mean, that really was the key. Because the Book of the Dead is not really about a dead culture. It's about turning your own messed up life into something beautiful and glittering and shining. And you know, it's an alchemical text, turning lead into gold. And so really the subject matter came from the inside out. I simply had to find a way to create it in the context of the culture of the ancient Egyptians, which somehow, while I was doing it, seemed very familiar. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us some of the history of that. When did they first appear, and were they? Was it only? Were they in the pyramids or any other places in Egypt?
Yeah, the first hieroglyphs that we actually know of, in terms of a religious text, appears in the pyramid text of Bunis, and it's inscribed in stone, and they're perfect. You know, it's like there's no period of time in which they're developing. They just appear full blown. But there are no texts inside of the old kingdom, fourth dynasty, Great Pyramid. There are no hieroglyphs in there, just a couple of hieroglyphs that indicate, you know, that this particular pharaoh, you know, ordered this block of stone with his name on it, you know, but that's it. You know, it's very hidden. It's not in an obvious place. So, yeah, it's some people say cuneiform from the Sumerians preceded the hieroglyphs, but cuneiform is very rigid and cartoonish, sort of, because, I mean, they were writing with sticks pressed into clay, and the hieroglyphs the Egyptians did, I mean, they almost have laser-like precision that's inscribed on these walls, and it's, you know, it's sometimes it's bas-relief.
Sorry, yeah. No, Nikki?
Histories. How Egypt happened, how it suddenly burst forth in all its majesty and glory and sophistication is truly one of the great mysteries, because it happened so fast. I mean, it wasn't there, and then it was. And mythologically, that's usually given to Thoth, wouldn't you say, Normandy?
Yeah. He's credited with writing it with his own fingers, you know, creating the language himself.
So now what era are we talking about here? How many, is this 5,000 BC, or I'm trying to remember?
Well, the first the first glyphs appear around 2600 BC. The first glyphs do. Yeah. And there are petroglyphs before that, but they're very much just petroglyphs. They're not hieroglyphs at all.
Right, right.
And the high art appeared at the same time. The quality of art that has not really appeared since all happened kind of at once.
What do you attribute that to, that it happened at once? What do you think happened in their civilization that?
Well, I have a theory.
All right, tell us, Nikki.
I'd rather
want to hear your theory.
let's hear the theory from Nikki, and then Normandy will be the scholar.
Okay. So Thoth is the god of wisdom, language, communication, science, architecture, healing, and he is revered throughout history by humans, but also by the gods. He's the wise uncle in the family. And it's my feeling that he and possibly Hathor, Neith, came through the Big Bang from whatever preceded this universe with all that knowledge intact. And then when the time was right, set about to engage in the making sure that the DNA, the smart genes, made it into the proper beings in order for self-awareness to develop at a level that has led to now. And that included free will, and that's kind of the problem, as well as the distinguishing.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll hear Normandy's scholarly viewpoint. We'll be right back.
Registration is now open for the 25th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference. Join the fabulous presenters from around the country on February 16th through the 20th. If you believe in raising the feminine spirit and transforming our world, then this conference is for you. Get your tickets now. One day and full weekend passes are available. For more information about presenters and tickets, visit womenofwisdom.org. That's womenofwisdom.org.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Beyond being this amazing neurologist, inventor, author, Dr. Dan Cohen has been called to look at technology and look at personal and spiritual development and merge these together. As technology uses the healing and psychospiritual effects of synchronized sounds, vibrations, electromagnetic fields, and how that interacts with us in our nervous system in what we're calling the Soltech chair.
The Soltech Lounge induces profound levels of relaxation that transition over time into deep meditative states. The synchronized sound, vibration, and magnetic field induce these states. The subject doesn't have to work at it.
To learn more, go to soltechwellbeing.com. That's S-O-L-T-E-C, wellbeing.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and we're talking with Normandy Ellis and Nikki Scully. We've been talking about Egyptian mysteries and the hieroglyphs, and we just heard Nikki's wonderful theory, and now we want to hear from Normandy about her knowledge about how all these hieroglyphs came about and the wisdom of the Egyptians.
Okay, so as Nikki was saying, it's a mystery how it actually started, because it appears almost full-blown. And first of all, I want to say that we as a culture aren't really fond of mysteries. We want to try to figure it out right away and have facts and figures and everything lined up. It makes us uncomfortable. So part of the whole thing about learning about the Egyptian mysteries is to allow yourself to rest in the uncertainty of where this actually came from, and to simply try and follow it. You know, like when Michelangelo created these fantastic things, and Leonardo da Vinci, those were geniuses. It was in their DNA. It simply was given to them to do. You know, you could look at it astrologically, you could look at it in any number of ways, but there are some indicators that there was a time in the Dogon culture where certain of the myths were known that were handed down into the ancient Egyptian tradition. And that, you know, that's a scientific knowledge. They understood how, you know, there was Sirius A and Sirius B, and they were an African primitive African tribe. How did they know that? You know, the information must have come from somewhere. Now, I don't know if you can say, oh, space people did it, or, you know, it's a mystery, you know, and I am perfectly comfortable in it being a mystery. And yet I do believe that Egypt was the origin of this amazing information. It's set in the middle of a great sea of sand that's a crystalline structure. And, you know, we use crystals to record information all the time. And so it's like it's in the sands itself. It's in the rocks itself, because the crystal holds the memory. And there's much more that we've forgotten than we remember right now. You know, so I don't know if that answers your question, That's how I feel about it.
Well, what kind of knowledge is it giving us? I mean, you're talking about this knowledge that's like, we don't know where it came from.
Why is it relevant?
Well, and why is it relevant today? Yes, and what is there for us?
That's a really big question. But it's as though they paid a different kind of attention. They didn't have the same kind of distractions that we do today, nor the same sense of value. Every Egyptian child, and I learned this from Normandy, grew up knowing that they were here to serve Maat, who is both the goddess and the concept of justice, truth, balance, harmony. And magic was simply part of life. It was totally accepted. And whereas if you can't if we've become so identified with science, and I love science, I prefer working with scientists because they set up the students or the travelers, whoever I'm working with, so that part of their brain is comfortable. Then when I take them on a shamanic journey, it's much easier for them to allow that experience in its fullness and to realize the strength of it because it comes from inside themselves. Mm-hmm. And when you walk into the temples in Egypt, they scream at you if you have ears to listen. And the things that they are talking about are the basic truths upon which a just and balanced, at that time, empire, at this time, global society would be based in.
Yeah, I want to add to that because I think that a lot of times we pretend like we just invented natural law, you know, the law of reciprocity, you know, oh, the law of gravity was discovered in, you know, X year by Isaac Newton. Natural law, you know, the law of reciprocity, the law of karma, the law of life, the law of thought, seed form. All of that is something that was known by the ancient Egyptians those thousands and thousands of years ago. And it was part of the magic that they talked about then. It was how to use your thoughts and your willpower and your desire nature to create something in the world, you know? And what matters then, I think, and part of what I'm seeing now is that we're a culture that thinks everybody is born to be somebody and they're all trying to get to the top. But in ancient Egypt, you know, it was a culture that supported a vision that was divinely inspired and then lived out in a broad spectrum by the people. And so a lot of that was something that the pharaohs themselves, the good guys, you know, not necessarily the egomaniacs, but the ones who were really working for Maat, for the preservation of these natural laws and the tenuous balance of the world that they were living in, they practiced reciprocity. They practiced karmic balance. They practiced learning, you know, positive and negative uses of energy. And they invited the divine to participate in the formation of a plan. If they didn't live it out, then their progeny went into meditation and said, okay, you know, this is how far we got so far, and what's my part in this next plan? And so it was a culture that was intended to build upon itself. Granted, it had some mighty missteps, as we do in our own culture, when you have an egomaniac come in and say, okay, I'm doing it this way now, so we're going to ignore that plan, you know, and do it my way. And Egypt suffered for it, you know. So
they had to start over.
So are we repeating history here?
Yeah, a little bit.
So we definitely have something to learn, you know, there's never anything new, is there? I mean, we could go back and really learn from what you're talking about of these various laws. And, you know, we tend to think in our society about the man-made laws, you know, that the politicians make. And we're really talking about worldly laws of cosmic law, universal laws that are probably more important than our man-made laws in many ways. If we followed those cosmic laws, we wouldn't have problems with the need for these political laws that we make.
Right.
So true.
I think that's true. And I think every culture has a list of those laws. You know, it's like you have the Eight Noble Truths in the Buddhist tradition, and you have the Ten Commandments in the Hebrew tradition, and you have 42 what we'll call negative confessions in the Egyptian. But it's like lists of things that really are natural law, you know, that you do not do. You know, you don't steal milk from a child, you know. I mean, does it count when you're actually taking the cow that belongs to its mother or when you're reducing its free lunch? You know, it's the same thing.
I'd like to speak for a minute to Chris's assertion that there's nothing new, because I feel like if we abided by Ma'at and lived to serve that cosmic truth, that would allow us to co-create with spirit something new, and that we're always striving for something new so that we can live in continuous awe. I mean, that would, for me, be a worthwhile goal as a global culture to live as simply as that golden rule, and from there let everyone create with spirit. Because what I'm finding is, once I learned that the creative process is really a co-creative process, and which is why we're making these oracle cards, so that you can make relationships in spirit with which to co-create, then things that we can't imagine suddenly aren't just imaginable, but we're making them happen. Right. That's what I discovered as a healer, and that's why alchemical healing is such a unique healing form.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. And I definitely believe in, you know, change and new things and creating and recreating. There's just is that concept of that base knowledge is always there that we build from.
Except it's forgotten so much.
And it's forgotten,
The Egyptians built to last. They were so secure and confident that they had the skill behind them, which they could not have done alone as humans. They had to have guidance from a deeper, larger source in order to give us those monuments with that exquisite art and those truths that, although once you learn them, you'd think they'd be self-evident, but they're not.
Because
they're so confused.
Yeah, and it still is and always will be a mystery of how all those monuments were created. Well, we're going to take another quick break. We will come back and talk more. Mickey mentioned the tarot cards. We're going to talk a little bit more about oracle reading and tarot.
Join in on one of the most life-transforming adventures in personal expansion and world service. In each of our upcoming shows, you're going to have the opportunity to join thousands as we focus healing energy to elevate and balance our world. This is a chance for like-minded individuals like you and I to join forces with lightworkers all over the globe as we light the way for peace, harmony, and a world driven by love. You'll also learn about magical innate abilities that you can develop and use to make your dreams come true. Joy Elaine, author of The Joy Chronicles, invites you to join her and millions of others working with the Galactic Masters, Angels, and the Ashtar Command as they assist humanity and planet Earth to achieve their ultimate destination of ascension. For more information, visit joyelaine.com. That's joy, E-L-A-I-N-E.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Registration is now open for the 25th Annual Woman of Wisdom Conference. Join the fabulous presenters from around the country on February 16th through the 20th. If you believe in raising the feminine spirit and transforming our world, then this conference is for you. Get your tickets now. One day and full weekend passes are available. For more information about presenters and tickets, visit womanofwisdom.org. That's womanofwisdom.org.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanijo on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
There are so many resources out there for meditation, but did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Vadili. All you need to do is visit his website, AtanaMethod.com. That's AtanaMethod.com, and sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's AtanaMethod.com.
Well, we're back on Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and we've been talking about the Egyptian mysteries with Nikki Scully and Normandy Ellis. First, before we go on, would you please give people your websites and perhaps anything that you have going on that they would be might want to look into?
Go ahead, Normandy.
Oh, sure. It's normandyellis.com is my website. And in the middle of March, we have a sold-out tour to Egypt again. But then next year, Indigo Ronlove and I are doing off-the-beaten-path tour to Egypt. So it's going to include some things that we've never included in the normal trip, although we'll have the glorious Afandina boat to ride on. And that's going to be February and March of 2018. So we've already got people signing up for it, and I hope folks will do that. Mm-hmm. I also teach at Camp Chesterfield, and so that's campchesterfield.net, and I'm teaching classes in metaphysics, in sacred scripture, in a lot of metaphysical journaling and astrology and numerology. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to people coming to visit there.
Great.
I just completed and signed off on to go to print for my next book, which is called Sekhmet, Transformation in the Belly of the Goddess. And I'm really excited about that. It'll be out in June. And so Normandy and I, who've done 20 years of Egyptian mystery schools here at my home, we're going to do it digitally this time. So we'll be either on the phone or on Skype or online. And we haven't decided on the format or the dates yet, but that's coming up. And of course, I'll be doing a digital launch for the book when it comes out. And other than that, if you go to shamanicjourneys.com and get on my mailing list, then you'll know when I'm going to be doing my free planetary healing calls to action and the teleclasses that I'm doing. Right now I'm in the middle of one called Making Spirit Medicine. And that's what's happening with me.
Great. Excuse me. Yeah, and you know, now that you mentioned it, just because of your trips, just briefly, if you want to share with people, I know I talk to people here, and they're scared to go to places like Egypt. What do you tell people?
Well, I think that a lot of people are scared to go to the airport. Period. You know, or get on the highway. I have not found the xenophobia solves anything. And, you know, the culture is ramping up a lot of xenophobic talk. But everywhere I go in Egypt, I have pretty much felt safe. And as long as we are staying on the beaten path, we always have an escort with us. And they take care of us. We register where we're going with the tourist police, so the government has an idea of where we are, and they make sure their security is with us.
And we have a private boat,
yeah. So that we pretty much are away from the hubbub.
The main schedule that people know.
Yeah, of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's good to know. I mean, that the Egyptians are so welcoming and honoring of you to come there. They want people to come, you know.
Oh, they're so grateful. They treat us beautifully. It's really, yeah. My health, but for the last couple of years, but it's still my company, and I'm just so proud of Normandy and Indigo for making it continue and keeping it going, because, I mean, the fact that we have a sold-out trip coming up in just a few weeks is a testament to the respect we've gained over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, you know, I'll attest to that. You know you're going to get a good quality trip with Normandy. Yeah, that's great. Well, I want to move on to, you know, talk about, because you're going to be at Women of Wisdom doing this workshop. And one of the aspects you're going to do is people get to create their own tarot cards. So let's talk about tarot and oracle readings and what that's all about.
Okay. I've been working on putting together an oracular reading of the cards based on the hieroglyphs, which were called Medu Neter. Medu means word, and Neter, of course, means God. So it's basically the hieroglyphs were understood by the ancient Egyptians to be the word of God. Again, you're asking, where did they come from? They were the word of God. And these oracle cards, a lot of times when one learns to read clairvoyantly, you rely very much on symbol. You rely on sound associations. You know, it's very dreamlike sort of interpretation. And so these hieroglyphs are sounds and symbols, and they're steeped in mythology. And so how they appear next to each other can be read in oracular fashion. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to teach people how to use them. And we're going, Nikki and I are going to, how to make them. Yeah, Nikki and I are going to talk about our contractual relationship with the divine beings that helps us to understand the meanings of these things. And we're also going to use some of Nikki's Anubis oracle cards, because she did a lot of work in creating oracles as well.
And to become an oracle requires developing relationships and a vow of truth. To be a good oracle reader, you really have to have an understanding of not only when to speak, but when to be silent, and to carry a level of integrity that's impeccable. Because when people come to you for a reading, they are basically giving you tremendous power, because they will believe everything that you say. And so it's a tremendous responsibility to step into that role. And so understanding that, becoming comfortable with that, and knowing that you're directly connected to a source or sources that are absolutely trustworthy is vital. And so that's what we want to give to people.
Yeah, that's so important. Yeah, people are coming to you. There needs to be have that trust built and respect for each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think a lot of times there's this other thing that happens with people who are new readers of any number of oracles, who will say to themselves, am I making this up? You know, how do I know what I know? And it really is about coming into it with a right relationship and a petition and an agreement with the divine, that you will listen and you will open your ears and you will open all of your senses and you give what you get. You know, it's not up to you to understand what it means. It's only up to you to give what you get, what Spirit gives you.
Oh, yes. Oh, go ahead, Nikki.
Well, one of the things that we do is we catalyze an awakening of the senses, of the inner senses. We've been doing this for years because people either don't trust their senses or don't even know they're there. And so we assist in the awakening process of the inner senses that allow you to develop confidence in that which you cannot know but comes from an irreputable source. But wait, well, I said that wrong.
Well, you're talking about, you know, and also we think of people who do readings like, you know, they're very intuitive, and I'm sure lots of people don't think, well, I'm not intuitive. But is this something that you can teach people? It sounds like you're kind of activating that, like there's an activation process to to get people to aware of the senses.
Exactly. Right. I mean, people, I've found over the years that more and more people are becoming aware on their own, and sometimes it's really frightening for them because they don't know what's happening, because the veils are just getting thinner. That's something that's happening, is the veils between the world. And although it's not considered as such, Egypt was a shamanic tradition. There was finally a scholarly work put out called Shamanic Wisdom in the Pyramid Text by Jeremy Nadler, who is a scholar. I think he lives in Oxford, actually, and who translated it from the point of view that whereas regular scientists or Egyptologists considered that work as written for the dead, he recognized it as the instructions for the initiations for the living in order that they have direct access with which they can then rule the country.
Mm-hmm.
Place of
truth. Yeah. That's well, we're going to have to take a quick break again, sorry to say, but we have to take a pause. We'll come back and talk more with Nikki and Normandy.
Is an ever-changing being. Goddess Light, shamanic healer, Bree Gibbs guides us through the ascending worlds, bringing forth knowledge and truth. As a light creator, she is here to provide new information needed at this time in our evolution. Join Bree as she shares messages from guides, spirits, ascended masters, goddesses, and others. Tune in the second and fourth Monday, 11 a.m. Pacific, and Thursdays, 1 p.m. Pacific, for Silver Gaia Radio.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Hi, this is Leslie Fontaine, and my show is Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com. When we're bogged down with our emotions, the hardships that plague us in our relationships, at work, our finances, we literally can't see the higher plane where we could be operating from. Tune in to Leslie Fontaine, Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Registration is now open for the 25th Annual Woman of Wisdom Conference. Join the fabulous presenters from around the country on February 16th through the 20th. If you believe in raising the feminine spirit and transforming our world, then this conference is for you. Get your tickets now. One day and full weekend passes are available. For more information about presenters and tickets, visit womanofwisdom.org. That's womanofwisdom.org.
We're back on Voices of Women, and we were Nikki was sharing some very good information, and I think she I'd love for you to just complete your thoughts on that, Nikki.
Okay, regarding the Egypt as a shamanic culture and learning to walk between the worlds, and you know, basically, in the shamanic arts, the shamanic is one that travels between the world and brings back information and power and to help heal or guide their communities. And so if the pharaoh has a major initiation in a place, that might be where he or she would want to be buried, because there's a lot of controversy as to whether the tombs were what are considered tombs were places of initiation or tombs. And so I wanted to bring up that, and also the point that the time of charismatic leaders like pharaohs is over. I know we have someone who's attempting to really stretch it out, but it's really up to each of us to step up to the plate of our own authority and live from that place, because the time for following charismatic leaders is simply over.
Yeah, so true. I think we're all looking for that, and it's one of the things, you know, I find that's great about Woman Wisdom. We do a circle leadership. We honor everybody has gifts and needs to contribute to co-creating, and that's what you've been talking about is co-creating. And I would love for you to share, because you've been at Woman Wisdom several times, your experiences at WOW, and why you think it's important for women especially to go to a conference such as Woman of Wisdom.
Well, I can certainly speak to that, because I had a pivotal life-changing moment one of the years when I was keynoting, and I was doing co-keynoting, I think it was with Brooke that time. I had 70 people in a class on alchemical healing, and as my husband and I were going to sleep the night before, he started suddenly channeling a vision, and my alchemical healing book had just gone to print, and I thought I was over. And suddenly the next day I found myself co-creating with 65 or 70 women what was to be the beginning of the next chapter of my life. And so I find that Women of Wisdom is one of those conferences where magic can happen, where the unexpected can happen, where the combination of minds that gather there, of seekers that are looking for something new and a new rudder for guidance in these times of turmoil. Find the unexpected and magical and synchronous moments.
Yeah, I love that, the unexpected. And yes, this, when women come together and connections are made, it's not necessarily what you learn in a workshop. It's that, like you say, the aha you get, or you might get that kind of aha when someone says something to you or you're in a conversation and all of a sudden a light bulb goes off. And it's just that kind of place that those kinds of things happen.
And all the workshops that I've done there have had those aha moments for me as a teacher, where suddenly something I've never spoken of comes out, and it turns out that there are people that just really needed to hear that at that moment. And there's something about the energy of Women of Wisdom that brings that kind of magic out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think for me, too, one of the most important things that I gain from coming to Women of Wisdom is that I'm in the presence of many women who are like-minded but are thinking of things that my own understanding has yet to grasp, but it's just on the edge of it. And so I find myself sitting on the edge of my seat hearing someone say something and like opening my mouth and taking a deep breath and thinking, that's it, you know? And it just really makes your own understanding of something so much clearer by hearing the passion in people's voices echoing what you've been thinking about all along, you know? And so that, to me, is like the true magic of being in a circle of women.
Mm-hmm. And I love what you said. It's a learning experience for everybody, including the presenters, that even the attendees bring their wisdom, and that is valued, and everybody is witnessed, and you're witnessed, and as a presenter, you witness others, and there's that healing power of that, of, you know, I just think it's the power of stories, too, that's so important.
Absolutely.
And they just fall out of you because somebody will catalyze them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're in the audience or whether you're on the stage, it doesn't matter. It's all the same in a certain sense.
Yes, I think
what you've done all these years is one of the most potent and powerful gatherings of people on the planet. Really, I do. I don't know that enough people really realize how much this makes an impact. But if women are gathering all over the country, you know, this is a place where we can raise the level of the dialogue as co-creators of our reality. And I think it's really important for people to be there.
Yes, thank you for saying that. It is. And I think now women, particularly women, you know, after the Women's March and everything, women are needing to be together and to talk and share. And yet kind of what happens is people kind of go into fear and cocoon. I saw that after 9/11. And yet there is much more of a desire to be active right now, to be socially active. And it's a good place to start that, being at Women of Wisdom,
network.
Because of the support you get and the networking and the support and finding groups, like finding out what other people are doing, like, oh, here, I'm volunteering here and I really do this good work. And if that interests you, you know, because we all need to be active now. There's a real call to be active.
Right. You do.
And it's a place to find that, to find out what other people are doing and what other people are learning from, you know, how to step up into positive social activism is so important, and we can only do that together. And so coming
That's
together,
right.
Yeah. So I appreciate you saying that, Normie and Nikki, and sharing your viewpoints on that. It's not always. It's good to hear from other people than people hearing it from me most often.
<You know? laughs> Well, Normandy and I have both had such great experiences at Women of Wisdom, and many of them. You know, Normandy has to travel a long way. I only live in Oregon, so it's pretty easy for me, but Normandy travels a long ways from Indiana to get here. And it's because it's enriching in ways that we just can't get in at other gatherings.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. Well, and thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm sorry we're going to have to close now, but I'm thank you for sharing your wisdom and pre-thanking
Thanks
you for coming to Women of Wisdom and making the journey. And everybody, you know, you won't regret signing up for Nikki and Normandy's workshop. It's February 15th and 16th. Just go to womenofwisdom.org. Look for the 2017 conference, and you can look for the event schedule. It gives all the information of all the events. You can register for one event or the whole weekend. You can create your own experience by going to two or three things or just coming for an evening or coming to Nikki and Normandy's workshop, and that's all you do, because going to one thing will even change your life. I want to encourage you to check that out. Just go to www.womenofwisdom.org. Okay, it's the end of our show, and next week we will be having another interview with our presenter. I believe it's Caroline Muir that we will be hearing from next week. So stay tuned, and everybody have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.